Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. And here it is once again, Wednesday night. Inspirational Wednesday night Bible study. Hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And I welcome each and every one of you who have called in or may be listening on the internet. This is a day that the Lord has made. And we have to just rejoice in it. We have things that's going on in our lives, situations, adversities, but God is still in control. And sometimes it may seem that God doesn't hear us, or God doesn't understand what we're going through. But there's a song that says, even when you can't hear his voice, you just have to trust his plan because he's God, and yes, he do understand. First of all, I would like to give all obedience to God and thank him and his son and his spirit for allowing us to be together another night and thank him for the opportunity of using me as one of his servants. And I realize that this is not about me, but it's all about God and his will and his way. And I just want to thank him because he's just so good. I also would like to thank each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule Wednesday after Wednesday to come and we could explore the Word of God together. And it's just a wonderful thing when the people of God could come together. I want to, for those who have their Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Genesis tonight, Genesis, the third chapter. We're going to do the 15, the 14th, and the 15th verse so you could get your Bibles together. And our lesson tonight is that Jesus was a part of God's master plan before the foundation of the world. Jesus was not an afterthought. So while we're doing this, we're going to go into prayer. If anyone would like to pray or put in a prayer request or sing or whatever, just make comments, you could do so at this time. And if not, we're going to go to the throne of grace. After that, we're going to play a song, and then we'll get right into the lesson. So it's prayer time. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we're not coming to you asking for anything right now, but we just come and thanking you for all that you have done, for all that you have allowed us to do, and all that you promised to do with our lives. Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace, and we're going to leave our cares at the altar because we know that you are able and you're willing, and you will see us through. Lord, we got to just hold on to the confession of our faith whenever something is going on in our lives, because that's what's going to get us through. Lord, I just want to thank you for each person that called in, and I'm asking that you look down upon them, dear God, and not just them, dear God, but the families that they represent here tonight. Heavenly Father, I ask you bless them and the blessings that they need of. Some may need healing. Some may need financial situations. Some may need just a word of encouragement. But, Lord, I'm just asking you, because of their obedience, that you touch each and every one of them in the blessings that they're in need of. And, Heavenly Father, we're going to be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory because you're worthy. Lord, the lesson tonight is Jesus was a part of your master plan. Lord, let us realize that when this lesson is over, dear God, and understand your mercy and your grace and how much love you bestow towards us that we could praise you even the more. Lord, we're going to be so careful to not put emphasis on ourselves, but, dear God, what you have done, what you're doing, and what you promised to do. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, and your sweet Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, that you have a master plan, and we just have to see how it unfolds. And we have to be committed and decide what part we're going to play in it. We have to know what you expect of us, dear God. And we have to submit unto you that you can mold us into the intended purpose. Lord, we are grateful, and we don't take this opportunity lightly. And we come before your throne of grace to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Hallelujah. So at this time, I'm going to play a song that I think for the season. And after the song go off, we're going to get into the lesson. Thank you. Sorry about that. I'm going to get it back. It jumped to another screen. I apologize for that. But it's coming back on. Just bear with me a little while. That was a station commercial, and I usually could override them, but it came through today. But that's all right. We're going to go forth in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Mary, did you know? You know, we have to, you know, songs like that remind me of, you know, the reason for this season that we celebrate, you know, the coming of Jesus Christ, and Christmas represents the celebration of his birth. And yet we find ourselves sometimes doing everything but, you know, setting our hearts on the things of God. The holidays is a difficult time for some people, and sometimes it's joyous. But no matter what you're going through, you have to remember what is the reason for this. And when I decided to write this paper, one of my goals is that I hope that you guys realize how God had a master plan for all eternity before the foundation of the world. And Jesus was a part of God's master plan before the foundation of the world. And even with me saying that, I want you to know that each and every one of us was also a part of God's master plan before the foundation of the world. And God is in total control. And he's doing everything that's necessary for his people. You know, Jesus was a part of the master plan that was necessary to save the people, to allow the people to have a relationship with God. And we have to be mindful of that. So that should be some of the things we have in our head, and we let it penetrate to our heart and realize just how much God loves us. You see, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish. He made a way for us. And he did that with Jesus, and it was before the foundation of the world. So as we get in the lesson, remember that. Remember, God had a plan before it came into existence, and we are walking through life just seeing how it's unfolds. And he gave us the word of God to show us how he's worked then and how he's working now, and the book of Revelation tell you how he's going to work in the end. It's up to you to do what you want to do with it. But tonight, I'm going to give you a little bit of Jesus was a part of God's plan before the foundation of the world. And for those who just came on, because the board is lighting up, and we're going to be in Genesis, so get your Bibles. And we're going to start in the 14th verse, and we're going to do the 15th. But as always, I got a little background for tonight. And I want you to know the book of Genesis was written by Moses, and it is called one of the books of the law. The first five books in the Bible is called the books of the law, and it's also called a Pentateuch, and it was written by Moses. And the word Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, the word Genesis actually means beginning. You see, in the book of Genesis, we can see the handiwork of God. I want you to know tonight that if you ever want to understand God, his will, and his way, and his works, you have to visit the Old Testament, because that's where God dwelt with his people and among his, and today he lives in his people. You see, the book of Genesis records the beginning of time. It tells us how life began, how sin came in, how salvation was granted in the human race, and then he talked a lot about the Hebrew nation. You see, its history is centered in four major events. If you read the book of Genesis, you will see that the first part talks about the creation. The second part, another part, tell you how man fell from grace. Another part talks about the flood when God destroyed the whole world because everyone was doing what seemed right in their own eyes. And sin and evil was so prevalent that God said, this ain't going to work. And then he talks about how he scattered the nations. And plenty of the scattering of the nation was what happened because of disobedience. You see, before we can understand why Jesus had to come, we must first understand the awesomeness of God's master plan and his perfect will for man. You see, God spoke all things into existence by his word. You know, I like to say sometime that God was impregnated with his creation. Not, you know, the creation beginning and all the way through eternity. And when God spoke in Genesis 1 and said, let there, when he said, let, everything was. That's why they say God can meet you at every, no matter where you're at, because he said it is all done. And he's walking back, and that's how he meets you with whatever stage or level in your life that you're at. You see, God spoke everything into existence by his word, as I said. And with his word, he designed the entire universe for mankind. You know, if you go to the New Testament, and John 1 and 1 said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. See, John is letting us know that the Trinity is real. You know, we have some people who still, you know, can't wrap their head around that it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and all three make one. But John 1 and 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, God created us because he wanted a people. He wanted a family. He wanted someone to fellowship with. You know, God created everything, so of course he's going to make his creation, mankind, so that he could fellowship with you, that you could be a part of him and he could be a part of you. See, that was a part of his design. So he created us in his own image and likeness so that we could be on one accord. See, God wanted to be on one accord with his people. God wanted us to fellowship with him. And he provided all provisions necessary for us to live in harmony with him. He provided all that is necessary for us to live a righteous life. There is nothing that you need to do the will of God that God has purpose for your life that the provisions is not there. You'll never be able to say that God shortchanged you. You'll never be able to say that you would have did it, but you couldn't because A, B, or C. God has provided everything that would enable us to be in harmony with him and for us to live a righteous life. Believe it. God has perfect knowledge of all things. His understanding is so much greater than ours, and he has no limits. God is limitless. He has no limits. God knows everything, and yes, he did know that man would fall. You know, but it's not that he orchestrated the fall of man, but he allowed it. You see, God is omnipotent. See, there's three attributes of God is always being said, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. You should know what that is, what that means. So when we say omnipotent, we are saying that God is all power, almighty, and ruling of all things. You know, you don't know no other omnipotent person. And that attribute goes for God, omnipotent. Then he's omnipresent. That means God is everywhere at the same time. That's how he's able to meet all of our needs. That's how he's able to hear all our prayers. That's how he's able to hold all us in his arms at the same time. That's how he's able to give us the footprints in the sand experience when we figure he left us, he's carrying us, and there's only one set of footprints there. That's how he could do all that because he's God. And then when we say that he's omniscient, that means he has having complete and unlimited knowledge. You see, nothing has ever happened that God didn't know beforehand. Nothing can take God by surprise. Absolutely nothing. So when you look back over your life and see things that happened, and you thought you was alone or you thought there was no way out, remember God was there because he knows everything. You see, we must understand that God is in control. God knows everything before the beginning, all the way through eternity. God began his creation with the end in mind. That's smart. That's wisdom. He didn't start doing something, wondering what was waiting to see how it unfold, and then he's going to have to make up a plan B and a plan C as he goes. No, he began with the end in mind. He started and will complete all that is needed through eternity for you and for me. But we have to trust him. You see, there's a scripture in Philippians 1:6, and it says that you should be very confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's word. You see, he's working it out for our good. Do you trust him? No matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you've been through, and if you keep living, no matter what you're going to go through, God is in control. He loves you. You're part of his master plan. He done provided everything you need to live a righteous life. He got it under control, and we do all of these things, and we have to just trust him. You see, in the first chapter of Genesis, God created the universe, and he made man in his own image. Watch this. In the second chapter of Genesis, God formed man and breathed breath in his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And God planted the beautiful Garden of Eden. He himself planted it and placed man in it. And God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. And he took one of his ribs and made a woman and brought her to Adam. But isn't it so amazing how Adam and Eve, being with God and seeing all the wonderful things that he had done and he was doing for them, and yet they decided to disobey him. And for those who maybe don't know the things that God did for them and you know, all of that, you know, they didn't work. You know, they didn't, they everything they needed to eat was provided for them. Come on now. In the beginning, they didn't have to wear clothes, so they didn't have to go shopping or at that time kill animals. God has provided everything that they needed, and it was right there before them. And all they had to do was obey and enjoy. So you think that's what God is telling us in our lives today? Obey and enjoy? Can we get to that point? There's nothing that we can change. They say what they say. We cannot add another cubic to our life. We can't make the rain come down. We can't make the sun stop. We in our little bitty selves, can we just enjoy and obey? You see, in by the third chapter of Genesis, man fell. You see what happened to serpent, Satan. You know, Satan used to be a glorious angel, but in pride he rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. And I want you to know that one third of the angels in heaven decided to follow him. One third. You see, you have to be careful who you follow. You know, the scripture said a blind cannot lead the blind. We must allow God's Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. You see, when Satan went up to Adam and Eve, Satan was using every trick in the book to get Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree that God had forbidden them to eat. You might ask the question, well, why didn't God stop it? Or why didn't Satan go to Eve first? You know, the Bible doesn't give us a clear statement as to why. Now, you see what I'm saying when I say that the Bible does not give us a clear statement. Whatever's not in the Bible, you can't make it up as you go. You could have an assumption, or you could say you may believe. And that's why you got to watch when somebody is teaching or saying things. If they don't say it in the Bible, then we don't know. God didn't figure it was necessary to say it. But we will understand by and by. But the Bible does not give us a clear statement why, but I believe, now this is just me, that's why I stopped right there and said that, I believe that if he had not achieved his goal with Eve, Adam would have been next. You see, some may say, well, why didn't God stop Satan if he's fully in control? Why he didn't stop Eve? Why he didn't stop Adam? Well, you got to remember, God created us to love him and to choose him. He wanted us to be with him by our choice. He wanted us to fellowship and worship him on our own choice. You know, that's just like, you know, when a man love a woman or a woman love a man sometime, you know, sometime in a relationship, people are fearful of one another, and they love them because they're frightened, or they love them because of something. You know, everybody wanted to be loved by someone that person chose to love them, and God is no different. You see, he made us free moral agents and give us the right to choose between good and evil. You see, Satan tempted Eve, but Eve, as a free moral agent that God had created us to be, she decided on her own. God didn't orchestrate this big mess. But watch this, he did allow it. She ate, she gave some to her husband, and that was the beginning of the fall of man and sin and death into the world. So now that's what happened with that. You see, because of this, we are all born to die. And we don't know when or how we're going to die. But one thing is certain, we do know why, and it's because of sin. You see, at that very moment, that small rebellious act destroyed everything so large, so beautiful, and so free. All of it was scattered. You know, when we have sin in our life, I mess up this and that. It just don't do one thing. It just mess up a whole bunch of things. You see? Everything we knew that was so free was scattered. God's perfect creation was shattered. But watch this. Our merciful God, and we know that mercy is God holding back punishment that we deserve. And our gracious God extended grace towards us, which is God's blessing we don't deserve. You see, he holds back with mercy what we deserve, and he gives us with grace the things we don't deserve. How could you lose with what God used? I'm going to read that again because it's sounding good to me. You see, that mercy is when God steps in and holds back the punishment that we deserve. You know how sometimes you might get a speeding ticket and you go to the courthouse and you did speed, but the judge say, okay, I'm a let that go and let you go. You did speed, but he granted you mercy because you did deserve the ticket. You see, that's a little bit how mercy is. Mercy is holding back the punishment that we deserve, and grace is God's blessing us when we don't deserve it. You got to remember, God had a plan. A part of his master plan before the foundation of the world was in motion, is in motion, and will ever be in motion all the way to through eternity. So it looked like to me his best thing to do is get with the plan of God, because that's what's going to supersede anything and everything, even through eternity. You're not afforded the privilege to make it up as you go and expect to get the treasures of God. But God had this plan in motion to overcome the effect of the rebellious disobedience. Let us look at what Jesus, this lets us know that Jesus was a part of God's master plan. He wasn't no afterthought before the foundation of the world. And I want each and every one of you to know that you was not an afterthought. God made each and every one of you, and he put it in his master plan before the foundation of the world. You are not an afterthought, and everything that God has for you is for you. And he put you in his master plan full of love and honor and glory, because you see, God is a purpose, so he made each and every one of us for a purpose. You are not an afterthought. You see, he decided who your mom and your daddy would be. Come on now. He decided each and every sister or brother that you was going to have. And for those who saying, you know, my life, my family or my early growing up and my this and that wasn't that good. But first of all, you did not pick it, and your mom and your daddy did not pick you. God's master plan. And even though it may have been hard, and even though it could have been better, and even though it should have been better, God has got it under control, and your ending has nothing to do with your beginning. Trust him. And see, when we see all of this, we realize why Jesus had to come. And if we go to the verse, Genesis 14, the verse in Genesis said, and I like to call this the curse. So if you're writing down and everything, the 14 is the curse. And God told him, who is the him? Satan. Look at your scripture. God told him, the him was Satan, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy, who? Satan, on your belly shall thy go, and the dust shall thy eat all the days of thy life. Now, that's after Adam and Eve had ate the fruit. After they ate the fruit, sin came into the world. It separated us from God, because God cannot deal in sin. We couldn't have a relationship with God because God couldn't deal in sin. We couldn't go to God for ourselves because we was in a sinful nature. We was full of sin. And it did all of these things. And God, remember, in the beginning of his creation, he wanted a family. He wanted fellowship. It had scattered all of that. And then, you know, after he had scattered that and God had did so many things, you know the story. God said, now you got to work the garden. You know, now you got to do this and you got to do this. And he told a woman, you're going to have pain. You know, sin brings in all of these problems. Sin is full of problems. But he told that to Satan in the 14th chapter. And when you go to the 15th verse, 3 and 15, he said, I will put enmity between thee, which is Satan, and the woman, which is Eve, and between thy seed, which is the people who, with Satan and his, you know, anybody who want to follow him and who don't want to accept God, that's, you know, either you know, you got God and you got Satan. You know, you either one or you the other. You know, ain't nothing in between. So when they say between thy seed, it's the people that's not of God. And her seed, which is God's people. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. They're talking about Christ and Satan. And you see, I like to call this the first prophecy by God himself. You know, we study prophets from the prophets and stuff. This is God saying, it's so ironic and so amazing that God started creation in the first chapter of Genesis, and by the third chapter, man had fell. What do that tell you about man? What do it tell you about us? But the point is, 14 and 15 verse of Genesis, God had already, in his master plan, put provisions for mankind, for you and for me, for Adam and Eve and everybody else. Soon as man fell in the second, God had tightened it up in the third. Soon as man had fell in the second chapter, God had made provisions in the third. The point I'm trying to say is what an awesome God we serve. And just like you did it then, that's how he's working in your life, but sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. See, God was telling them, talking about who would come. The woman's seed would be Jesus Christ. And we know the story of Christ, that he would, you know, die for our sins, and he's going to take away the sins of the world. And when once Jesus came and removed the sin, then we would be back in fellowship with God. We could have a one-on-one relationship with God. We could go to him for ourselves. Hallelujah. See, her seed, he's talking about Jesus Christ in the third chapter of Genesis. So let's not get it twisted. Jesus Christ was not an afterthought. God wasn't making it up as he go. And he knew before the foundation of the world that man would fall. He didn't orchestrate it, but he allowed it, but he also had provisions. Now that sounds like a hand clap of praise for God. You see, this is God's master plan for our redemption. God is letting us know that Satan is our enemy. See, in that verse, he said, I will put enmity between his seed and your seed. He's letting you know Satan is your enemy. And the D in that verse is saying that was Satan. So let's read it again. I will put enmity between Satan and Eve, and between thy seed, Satan, which is people who don't accept God, and her seed, which is going to be the children of God, and it shall bruise thy head. Satan got the knockout blow when Jesus died and resurrected, where he had taken all power in his hand. That's what that means. It shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. When Jesus was crucified on a cross and they nailed his heels, they bruised his heel. God is talking about Jesus, the coming of the Messiah. You see, God himself will become a man to be the seed, the offspring of the woman, as Jesus Christ. See, those of us who believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, we believe that Jesus is the incarnated God. So God is telling you, I'm going to come on down, and I'm going to allow myself to be wrapped in flesh by the Virgin Mary, and I'm going to walk this world and show y'all how to live and show you it's possible, and then I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to take all your sins away. See, God always gives us evidence. You know, he wanted to come and show us how to live so we could say we didn't know. He gave us the Bible so we could say we couldn't say we don't know. And God allowed his holy self to be wrapped up in nasty flesh and come down here to save our soul. You see, Jesus would be born of a woman and become all man and still be all God. The entire Bible is the story of how God's plan unfolds. You see, ultimately leading to God's own visit on earth through his son. The whole Bible points to Jesus. The whole Bible is about God. Now we know why Jesus had to come. And one of the main reasons Jesus took the sting out of death. Because remember, we was all wrapped in sin. and we all was going to die in our sin. But Jesus came and he took us in, and everybody had a chance to the tree of life if you accept him. You see, his sinless life and death made it possible for God to offer forgiveness to all who want it. Our small and large, watch this, our small and large acts of rebellion prove that we are descendants of Adam. You know, only by asking forgiveness can we become the children of God. Jesus was placed a spiritual barrier between thy seed, which is Satan, and his people, which is the seed of the woman, which is God's people, and that representative seed of the woman is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who delivered the death blow to Satan's head, but in doing so would bruise his heel, and he would have to die. So if you ever want to, you know, I mean, we gotta sometimes start things first. We could go all the way back to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, the 14th and the 15th verse, and see that right before that man had fell, but we right after that, God's provision. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. God is showing you what he's working with. He's showing you why he loved you. He's showing you that he has your best interest at heart. He said, watch my plan unfold. And I got you. But you got to believe it. You see, before the birth of Christ, it was foretold through prophecy that he would come. That's why I'm letting you know it's not an afterthought. Jesus wasn't born to the New Testament. And the Old Testament had 39 books. And for those who don't know, between the Old Testament and the New Testament was 400 years. And then John the Baptist came spreading the gospel in the New Testament. Now, I'm bringing you all the way back. I brought you all the way back to Genesis. And the first prophecy was from God. Because, you know, I'm not sure everybody believes it, but I'm giving you the word of God, not what I say, but you could track it for yourself. You see, before, you know, the birth of Christ, it was foretold through prophecy that he would come. This lets us know that Jesus was not an afterthought. God always provides the evidence for your faith. He ain't asking you to believe that Jesus is the Messiah without the evidence. If you could take the evidence and believe the evidence and accept him, and that's how you get faith, and then your faith activates your grace, and your grace bring along mercy. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. So I'm going to bring you a little bit back in the Bible. I'm going to tell you how what the Bible say, how he would come and what it'll be called. If you go all the way back to Isaiah 7 and 14, Isaiah 7 and 14 said, there the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now watch this. Isaiah 7, 14. This is God speaking through his prophets to the people, telling them what he's going to do and when he's going to, well, he didn't say when, but what he's going to do and how it would be done, but not when. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And he also told him his name would be Emmanuel. And most of us who know can really understand and connect the dots to see that God is with us now. Because Emmanuel means God with us. Isn't that sweet? And if we go to Isaiah 9 and 6, it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This sounds so good to me, y'all. And God even went further than that. He said that's how he's going to come, and that's who he's going to be, and who's going to have him, and whatever that. But he also told us, he went down a few more chapters, because that's the 7 and the 9, and then in the 53rd chapter, in the 5th verse, he said, but let me tell you this. He said, don't worry about it. He says, all a part of my master plan for you, for me to have fellowship for you, with you, for me to be on one accord with you, for me to call, be able to call you my child, for you to be able to call me father. He said it's a part of the master plan. And now we're in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, in the 5th verse. He said, but let me tell you what's going to happen to me and my son, which are one. He said, but he will be wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Those three scriptures that I read you was way before Jesus was born. But God say what he's going to do, but you've got to remember, and this is to help you remember, God does everything in his own time. You know, God is the on-time God, because remember, he had the master plan, and everything is synchronized, and everything has its place there, and he's letting it unfold at the time that he is designed for it to do it. And that's why we have to wait for God in our lives. You know, well, then some people may say, well, why Jesus didn't come sooner? Because that wasn't God's plan. This is God's plan, and it's better than anything you could ever comprehend. And maybe you don't understand it, but I could tell you that it's good. You see, in the Old Testament, once sin entered the world, Jesus allowed man to sacrifice animals, and the sacrifice covered the sin. And at that time, God accepted it. You see, the sacrifice of animals could never remove the sin. Man had to live by the law, and God knew man could not be able to live righteously in and of itself. God knew you couldn't do it. So sometimes when people trying to tell you you ain't good enough, or because you love the Lord, you shouldn't this and shouldn't that, and maybe you shouldn't do things, but, you know, sometimes it takes time. I'm not giving you a license to sin, but I'm just telling you. God knew that man could not do it. You see, it was no way possible. Not even one man could achieve it. Because I come to tell you tonight, if one man could have achieved it, then we all would have to achieve it the same way, and Jesus wouldn't have had to come. And if he didn't have to come, he wouldn't have had to die. Hallelujah. You see, the animal sacrifice couldn't completely fix it. So he sent his son. And his son became a one-time, for all-time sacrifice. You see, God is a just God. You see, he would not allow all of us to receive the death penalty for one man's sin, Adam and Eve. If God wouldn't have fixed what they did, we would all have all of the penalties that was brought about by what they did. But God had an ultimate plan, and his name is Jesus. And God fixed it that everybody who wants it can receive it. Everybody have a chance to the tree of life. It don't run out. It hasn't all been given out. You see, when man has something, they give so much out, and they say, sorry, I don't have no more. God is not like that, because God is the God of enoughness. Hallelujah. You see, God don't run out, and God don't pick and choose who get it. Everyone has a chance to the tree of life. You see, Romans 5:21 says that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Yeah, sin brought it on you. And the grace through Jesus Christ is getting it off you. Do you accept the grace tonight? Do you accept God's grace as God's riches at Christ's expense? Do you walk in the grace? Is that grace that took care of that sin issue that Satan had tricked Eve to come into the world? Oh, you half of us are free and we don't even know it. But I came to tell you tonight, that's why Jesus had to come. But as I get ready to close tonight, I told you the prophecy that God said. I show you what God said in the Bible. I show you how he made his first prophecy and Isaiah came and talked about he was coming. You see, God offered himself to become a sacrifice for mankind, and he had to become man to become a sacrifice for man. See, the sacrifice, see, they was doing them cows and bulls and lambs and doves and all of that. But you see, for the really saved mankind, for that once and for all, a cow wouldn't do it. A bull wouldn't do it. They needed a man. And God said, here am I. And he allowed himself to be wrapped up in flesh. You see, Jesus had to come so that we may be able to fellowship with God and have a relationship for him. Jesus' death bridged the gap. We were separated. Jesus' death allowed us to come together. Jesus gave everyone a chance to the tree of life. And I done told y'all about what Isaiah said, and I showed you the prophecy that Jesus done soon as man fell. I'm going to tell you right now, when Jesus started walking the earth and I started coming into his own and realized what he was sent here for, and he was connecting with the Father, this is what he said. You see, Jesus in the book of Matthew's and some of the book of Luke, he was teaching the people, you know, and Jesus was telling them, you know, about the grace that is coming and what it could do and what it was going to do. You see, and if we look at Matthew 18:11, this is Jesus talking. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's Jesus. Can you believe him? And then Luke 4:18, for those who have your Bible, Luke 4:18, 18 through 21, and I'm going to close with this, and this is Jesus talking and teaching the people. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of the sight to the blind. Jesus talking right now. He said, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Come on, Jesus, bring it down. And then in 19, he said, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. Preach, Jesus. And then he said, look what he did then. He was reading out of the scribes. You know, back then they had the scribes. They didn't have the Bibles per se. And when they would go in a synagogue, in the temples to teach, they would read the scribes, and I guess they would expound on them or whatever like that. So Jesus went in the synagogue, and he was teaching. He was reading and teaching, and that's what he read. That was in the scribes, but it was describing him. That's awesome, huh? But he told them the 18 and the 19, what I told you, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he told them to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to give the sight to the blind and all that. And if you look at the 20:4-20, look what he did then. Y'all, this Bible is sweet if you get into it. After he read all of that, he was reading. That was in the scribes, but it just happened to be talking about him, right? He said, this is what he did in the 20th verse. He closed the book, and he gave it to someone else, to another minister who was sitting down. And all eyes of them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him. Can you imagine Jesus get up there? He said, let me tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captive and recovering the sight of the blind, to set the captives, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Come on, if y'all any one of them, are y'all brokenhearted? Jesus telling you, I'm the one. Or, you know, he said, to preach the gospel to the poor. You're feeling poor in spirit. He said, I'm the one. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If your heart's broken right now, he said, I'm the one. To preach deliverance to the captives. Anything that ever holding you captive, Jesus said, I'm the one. Recovering sight. And every blind person don't mean they can't see, you know, physically, but it could be can't see literally because they just can't see what God is saying. To set the captives, to set the liberty to them that are bruised. If you're bruised, Jesus was teaching and say he was saying all that was in the scribe. And then he did, he closed the book and gave it to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them were on him in the synagogue. And then look what he say in 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And I want you to know that Jesus was telling them, I'm the one. Can you believe him? And they still couldn't believe that he was the Messiah. But Jesus said, I'm the one. You see all this written in the scribes and in the prophets. He said, I'm the one. And that made them even more mad because they were thinking he was, you know, thinking more of himself than he ought to. But if you got it and you the one, you the one. You might not be in your life where you want to be or think you are where you should be. But first of all, God does the choosing. And if God say you the one, you the one. You might can't even understand it. But you the one. But I just want you to know that God had a master plan before the foundation of the world. And Jesus was included in it. And so was each and every one of you. Believe it. Jesus was not an afterthought. And neither are you. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I pray that someone got something that they could use. And at this time, I'm just led to say, if anyone who doesn't know God and the pardon of their sins, or anybody who would like to recommit themselves unto God, you know, you should think about it. And if you would like to talk about it after the lesson, I could give you my number, 504-289-9501. Jesus is calling out to his people. God said, I done made the provisions. You just have to, it's simple as A, B, C. A, accept. B, believe. C, confess. He's saying you will have eternal life if you do it with your whole heart. But that's our lesson for tonight. And at this time, I welcome anyone who have any comments, any questions, any concerns. And I see I have callers right now. I got a caller. The number is 62198. Your mic is open.
Hi, happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, my sweet niece.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. And you?
I'm okay, thank you. But it was accidentally pushed. I didn't do it on purpose.
So are you finished?
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you so much for calling. I love all of y'all, and happy holidays.
Love you, too.
All right, baby. Thank you for calling. I have another call at 661-748. Your mic is now open. Area code 661.
Yes, praise God, Diane, Mrs. Adams, and I'm just calling to say thanks for that word, that rhema word that you just gave us, biblical, that Jesus is the one. And when you can have Jesus in your life and know that he's number one in your life, all things will work in your favor. So I just had to say thank you for that word. It's encouraging, it's uplifting. Just the whole Isaiah prophecy and just knowing, just setting it up, what God was doing, setting it up for Isaiah to bring that prophecy in for Jesus as the one. It's just an awesome, awesome feeling to have in all of our lives. And you know, we can't live without Jesus. So I just thank you for that word. And, you know, happy holidays to you. And may you prosper. And live well.
And I thank you so much, brother. You're the brother from the Bible study, huh?
No. I just so happen to browse Block Talk Radio, and I always like to listen to different views of Block Talk Radio in the religious section, and I just picked up on this word here, and my name is Jermaine, and I'm not part of your Bible study, but I'm just, you know, I'm just a big fan of Jesus. That's all I can tell you.
But since you done called tonight, you are a part of our Wednesday Inspirational Bible Study, and you are welcome. We meet here every Wednesday night at 8:30. And for the listeners as well as for you next week because of the Christmas season, we will go forth with the word, but we're going to do it on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. So y'all keep that in mind. And, brother, I'm so thank God for, you know, for you calling in, and I thank you so much for your words of encouragement. And I pray that if it's God's will, you'll be back with us again. And happy
yes.
holidays to everyone as well.
Yes, happy holidays to you too. And one thing I can say that, you know, we gave Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day, which is all about him praising him and giving thanks. And, you know, I just give thanks to Jesus all the time. And we as people, as heirs walking on this earth rim, we should all be giving thanks every day, and not just for holiday seasons. It's every day. And you know, he's just worthy to be praised. So,
and I thank you so much. Can I ask you this, if you don't mind? Area code 661, where is that?
That's not an area code. That's a Skype code. Calling from, yeah, I'm calling on Skype. So,
okay.
If you want to get in contact, you can speak with me, contact. Is it okay if I can give a number on there? I don't know what the restrictions are.
Yeah, my number is on the phone. The prayer line is my number. And
okay.
I welcome you to call me. The 504-289, that's my personal number.
Okay, and you said you do Bible study. Is that what you do?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, we can all learn more of the Bible, because it's like every time, and I don't care what you say, how much knowledge you have of the Bible, but the Holy Spirit can reveal some things to you that you might have read but never looked at it from a spirit point of view, what Jesus is saying. So it's just amazing how this Bible, this whole Bible was written, and, you know, it's just an encouraging book that just brings mind-blowing to all of us and what Jesus is doing. So I just thank him for his word. So, yes, and I'll try to – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just thank you for letting me come on and Block Talk Radio, and I'm encouraging you that all listeners to listen in on for this show. So I always encourage other shows, and just, you know, it's just good to hear from other people's point of view on Jesus and what our Father has to say to us.
And I was just letting you know that any time that you call in, you can lead in prayer. You could lead out in prayer. When I ask that question, you could press the one button. It's, you know, I want everyone to know, and it's no secret that I'm saying it now, but I let them know all the time, this is our Bible study, and all of us could play a part within it. So we do welcome you. We welcome your comments. We welcome your concerns, your prayers. If you're not a singer, you could sing. And we could go forward together in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And my brother, I thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, and I thank you for letting me call in this year. And have a blessed good night.
And you as well. Well, we know we try to end at the 9:30 hour, one solid hour. It's 9:36. At this time, we're going to say our benediction prayer. And as always, a lot of people like the music. I'm going to play more music. But I try to say the prayer before the people get off the line because there's blessing and a benediction. So at this time, if anyone would like to pray, the line is open to you. And the caller with the Skype number, if you want to pray, let me just open your mic. When you press to make the comment, your mic stays in a certain queue. So when I ask another question to prompt anybody, if they want to, you know, do something, when you press the one again, it won't show again. So I was just giving you this opportunity if you wanted to pray, because you could be there just pressing your button and think I'm ignoring you.
Sure.
So
I just came back. Sure, I can pray. It's no problem.
Yeah, and I wasn't, you know, putting you on the spot, but I wanted you to know that's what happened. Once you press the one button, if it's in the beginning of the program, you know, if you press it again, I can't get a signal. And I didn't want you to be pressing it. And you don't have to if you don't want. And I definitely wasn't trying to put you on the spot, but I wanted you to show you how the radio station works. But you can go and lead us in prayer, and then I'll begin the music.
Sure, there's no problem. Father God, we just thank you for this show, this Words of Wisdom show. Father, we ask you to bring in more listeners to queue in on this Blog Talk Radio show. I just thank my sister right now who's bringing the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Savior Christ. And I pray that if you don't know Jesus, that you accept him and believe and understand that Jesus is for you and confess your sins, that God will turn the thing around for you and it will get better. I just pray that everybody out there that you have a blessed Christmas day, and just know that Christmas is not about just celebrating our own. It's all about Christ Jesus. I pray that all our children, that they have a very merry Christmas. I pray that we learn to give and share with one another, not just on the holidays, but every single day, and understand that the love of Christ, he will break all evilness and break all wickedness and iniquities that's inside of us. I pray that we all stand together as one and understand that Jesus is our Lord, Savior, Christ. And I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. I pray that everybody, that we learn from each other, that, you know, when we, you know, make mistakes, that we can learn how to forgive in our souls and understand that if we can forgive each other, then, you know, Christ Jesus, he will forgive us when he opened the doors of heaven and gates for us in heaven. So I just pray that in all our souls that we know we get it right with Jesus, because he is coming back soon. So I just say thank you, Father, because he is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be magnified, exalted, and everything. So I just pray that, you know, that thank you, that Father God, that you are the King of Kings. You are our Prince of Peace. Yes, you are our Counselor. And we just praise you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, I say thank you. Amen and amen.
And I could just say it. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm just so elated. And it's amazing. You know, I was contemplating the lesson for next week, and you touched on it a little bit in your prayer, so that was confirmation for me. But next week, the lesson going to be, no matter what people say or no matter what people do, Jesus is the reason for the season. And we should focus our hearts and our mind towards Christ. And that's what we're going to do for next week. So I pray that everyone be there. And I'm going to go ahead and play music as long as there's people listening, because some people really enjoy the music. And as long as someone's on the line, I'm going to let the music play. Thank you all. If anyone would like to make comments, if you press the one button, I still could see your that you want to talk, and I could open the mic back again. Be blessed.
Be blessed. bless you, Jesus. Name.
Options of you. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all searched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what left to do. Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. What else will change my life? Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Keep me there alone.
And that was Take Me to the King. Anybody would like to say anything else? Well, so that you could get back to doing what you need to do. If you would like me to play some more music, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, we're going to go ahead and end the lesson for tonight. Remember, we're coming back Tuesday at the same time. 8:30, the lesson's going to be no matter what nobody says. No matter what the world does and how they do it, Jesus is the reason for the season. So I just thank everybody for staying on the line and in the last benediction prayer and listening to the music, and I hope you was ministered in song, and that's our program for tonight. I want you to know that Jesus loves you, and so do I, and just as well as God had a plan for all of us through his son Jesus, he's making plans in our lives to see us through every step of the way. You just have to trust him and hold on to his unchanging hand, and he promised to see you through. Well, that's our program for tonight, and I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed, and see you here on Tuesday if the Lord said the same. Good night.